We're going to be looking at a very short conversation on commitment, and it's something I sense led to talk about. And I must say, we, by the special grace of God, have very good people, and you know, they seem to be very committed. But I want to push the commitment to another level. See, that's the intent, because to everything there is another level. Right, so there's another level of commitment, and many times, you know, what we are building is a ministry for the Lord, right? And we want to make sure that that building is how He wants it built, right? Yeah, that building is how He wants the building built. So just imagine that, supposing, you know, you laid 100 blocks on a building, or let's say 200 blocks on a building foundation, you know, and then you did that over a period of 1 year. Can't tell what building you're building 1 year, but let's say every day you laid a brick or a block, you know, in the foundation, and all you did was to build and build and build and build. And then you wake up one day and you realize that 70 of the blocks, or you know, 50 of the blocks had been ripped off their spaces. The next time you wake up, another 70 has been ripped off, and a part of the building is actually looking like it's not really standing well, because every single day that you wake up, 50 to 70 blocks are missing from the main foundation, or from the main building that you are putting. Now, it could be evidently clear that in a few weeks' time, we're not going to have any building. Because if 70 blocks, 50 blocks, 40 blocks, 20 blocks, you see. Now, when it comes to commitment to God's purpose and to God's plan and to what God wants us to do, as members of these buildings, we must understand that each one of us is like a block that holds one block to the other. Now, that's what buildings are. You know, I was privileged to see my dad, you know, put up quite a number of buildings. So every block is connected to another block. And that's why when they put a block, they put cement in between the block, and then they push in another block. So when we find that we wake up and 70 blocks are missing, or 20 blocks are missing, we shouldn't be sleeping. Even if it is 5 blocks, it's a very serious case. Because what happens is that the absence of a single brick or a single block begins to affect the other. You see that? Now, those missing blocks are the uncommitted ones. Or maybe you wake up one day, and then the 95 blocks says they are going to the roadside to buy wache for 2 days and come back. You can't find 95, and 2 days they come back. Blocks who eat wache, they went to the road, yes, to buy wache. Imagine them walking to the road with legs and everything. The blocks have dissociated themselves, and then they are going to buy wache for 2 days. And then you come and see your blocks at wache joint 20. They've gathered the table of 5, 5, 5, 5, and they are eating wache. And they say, no, we'll sleep here today. Tomorrow we'll come and eat wache. We'll sleep here. So when the wache seller prepares her wache and she's done, she'll give us more wache. But that day too is a day we have a meeting, and then the blocks are not there. They are not at their point. You see that the building will begin to fall. So many times, that's what commitment actually does. And many times in many other ministries, churches, whatever, there are types and different kinds of committed people. And many times, the lowest type of commitment is the fair weather ones. It's the first kind of people. They're very fair-weathered people. See, when things are going well, they are around. See, the Bible says that a rich man has a friend, has many friends. A poor man has no friend. So these are fair-weather church members. Fair-weather people. Many times they like to be in the crowd. And these kind of people, they fall away when crisis or problems arise in the church. They are not really there. They're not really present many of the times. They only show up because they have nice clothes. So it's like fair weather people. You know, when the weather is fair. Fair means it's good. You come out and the weather is good. The moment it gets rainy or sunny or stony or anything, you see that they are not present. And remember, I'm teaching this with respect to the utterance we had. I already planned to teach about the Bible. I said, okay, let me just see what. So it's with respect to the utterance. Whatever you're saying that we will do well, we'll do. It comes with a bedrock foundational attitude of being committed. Yes, you can't do well without being committed. Right? And it's not something that we should encourage. It's like you are not sure, you are just not around, you are already there, and it's like when it's fair, we can. Oh, Pastor, you know, we'll come. Fair weather. It just started drizzling. So churches is not fair weather. Oh, we haven't meet. Oh no, we only come for the our own is just the all night fair weather because they like to, but we have all night or something. So it's like we are not really sure, but we are sure. They don't have a place to stand. So it's not really consistent. It's just a shot. Those ones like wedding ceremonies and those things. They are fair weather people. The second kind of people, I want to do it quickly. So don't be fair weather people, eh? That's like, oh, it's just it's just CFI. Oh, it's just CFI. Yeah, but we are in ZIF. And normally the last quarter of the month we become BNI people. So this is just a short time. Number two, many of us found ourselves in the second group. Many. And I want to provoke you into becoming a certain kind of a group. Yeah. Many of us. The next one is situational commitment. Yeah. You see, the next type of commitment is what? Situational commitment. You see, this kind of commitment is the commitment you have to each other to some extent because of a certain kind of environment that you share. So there are friends who are friends because situations permit that they be friends. For example, when you are in school, for instance, different situations will bring people from different other places. You see that? And then we are forced that we are all in A52, A21. So, hey, where did you come from? Oh, Natabi Okoshi. Oh, you too. Oh, me, it's just Adenta. Then you see them sharing things together. They eat together. They go together. They understand themselves together. After level 400, appeal. They hear from each other 1 month, 2 months. After all, that's all. They are done. They forget that they even had such a friend. How many of us have finished school? How many of us have finished school? Where's Boyki? Yes, I want to talk to Boyki. Boyki will have that experience.
Yes, please, Pastor.
Boyki, when you were in school, who were you very close to? Yes, Betty, yes, right?
Pastor, please, spiritual Bessie.
Bessie. Where is she now?
Pastor, please, she's working in Ghana in a law firm.
Have you been hearing from her?
No, please, Pastor. But I see her on LinkedIn.
You see? Situational friendship. Situational. It's a LinkedIn. I can tell you, these things are true. I'm giving you revelation so that it will not catch you too. You see that? It will catch you with ministry. Me, I know people who were very influential to me, like Pastor Prince. He was the only one I ever got close to. He's the only one I ever had anything actively done to. Till today, he's still present. Yes. Because I was smart. You know, it can't be situational friendship. Can't be situational friendship. So many people are not very sharp like that to know that there are some things that are not situational. You see that? They are not situational. Martina, where is she? You see, I knew Boyki's close friend. I can still remember. Martina.
Yes, please, Pastor.
Who was your close friend in school?
Pastor, please, it was Rebecca.
Ah, where is she now?
Pastor, please. I know she's married, but then...
She knows. Did you go for a wedding?
No, please, Pastor.
Situational. You can't tell me that somebody who you were very close to in university, you didn't go for the wedding. Situational. You were just in school. That was when was the last time you heard from her?
Pastor, please. After her wedding.
On phone or call. Not text. Text are situational too.
Pastor, please, on phone. I don't remember.
Situational. As for text, you can just say congratulations. Oh, thank you for coming. Thank you for showing up. Situational. Who again? Who was your friend again, apart from Rebecca?
Pastor, please. I was
very, close very, very close.
Very, very, very close. Pastor, please. It was just Rebecca. And then later on, Nadine. But then I still keep in contact with Nadine.
No. Nadine is a different case. Nadine, we all see Nadine around. So,
okay, Pastor, please, Adam as well.
So, okay. When was the last time you spoke to her? Also,
Pastor, please. That was.
So you okay? It's okay. So don't spill my tea. It's situational. It's situational. All these things, they are situational. How can you say that somebody was your best friend? But you heard from them. You've not heard from them over the phone. Yeah, over the phone. So it's situational. It's just school that just brought us together. I'm teaching you how that will not say, hey, CFI, you say, oh, CFI, level 300, I met Seberio, and after I finished school, we don't really talk like that. I have been seeing that. It's like it's really, yes, some way. You know, university, you know, he really helped me a lot. He really, really, oh, God bless him, Pang. If it was not a very Pang at level 400, I would have been really hot. Situational. So there are some members that are situational members. They have situational commitments, but I don't like situational commitment people. Who again? Last person. You see my analogy, 2 out of 3. It makes a lot of sense. Let me see. Who again has finished school? Where's Saint Marcel? Huh? No, Saint Berry. I'll call Saint Berry later. Where's Saint Marcel? Is he here? Did he call in today? No, Saint Louis and Co. They finished school recently. Those ones, they finished school recently. Cervades. Yes, Cervades too finished school for a while. Cervades. Cervades should call in. Who else? Who else is here? Saint Marcel is not here. Ransford is not here. Cervades, who was your best friend in school?
Good evening, Papa. Thank you for this opportunity.
Yes.
I had a couple of friends.
The closest. Now I'm talking about the closest, so that nobody will say, "Oh, Pastor, it was just my." Yes, closest.
And the closest one. His name was Ebenezer.
His name was.
Or was an
he doesn't exist today. His name was Ebenezer. His name was. Means today. He's not. When was the last time you heard from Ebenezer? The one that existed but doesn't exist.
I think somewhere last month. Yes, last month.
Do you talk frequently, or it was just by text or something?
Oh, it was just by text. Hello, hi, how are you doing? That's all.
So another situational. Thank you. Another situational. So you can see that your relationships are situational. Yes, but let me teach you something. For every relationship God brings into your life, let me teach you something. Have a very long-term mentality concerning those relationships. Accept those relationships violate your beliefs, they violate your convictions, they violate your pursuits. Make sure those relationships, you keep them and you keep them very well. Because anybody that God brings into your life, God has a reason for bringing them in. Sometimes your answers of 20 years is in somebody you met today. Yes, your answers of 20 years is in somebody you met today. Many of you have met me 5 years ago, 7 years ago, 9 years ago, but you are now even coming to realize why you had met me those 9 years ago, 5 years ago, 4 years ago, 3 years ago. Yes. So from today, everybody should have a long-term mind. Because of that, I don't have a lot of friends. Because I want to keep the ones that God has given to me. Yes, my very good friend in the university, even yesterday I heard from him. I called him. After I had not heard from him in a lot, I called him. In a while, I called him. He said, "I've not heard from you again." And then we had a talk. And I said, "You, I'm going to pray. I'll talk to you later." So anything that God puts in your life, don't have a short-term relationship. Don't be somebody that uses people and dumps them or that leaves them out of whatever God is doing. Are you listening? Yes. So you see that some people, they'll say, CFI, it was when I was in university. Yeah, because I intentionally shared the interdenominational for a reason. Very soon, I'll change it. Very soon. Yes. So, you know, CFI, it was just when I was in school. Now that I've finished school, I don't really know what is happening with them. Oh, but those people, pal, they were really good, pal. The way they discipled us, the way they talked to us. Situational. I'm trying to save you from this evening from being a situational member. And a situational church fellow. Situational. So some are committed to this ministry only because situations permit. It's because they are still in Accra. They are now working. So because I live close by. That's where I go to church now. But when I leave, I'll move to another church. There's another church not far from my house. They are looking for churches that are close by their houses. But they don't want jobs that are close by their houses. That's what churches, they look for the ones close by. But jobs, they look for the ones that can meet their demand. So from today, don't be a situational member. Some people are members because of circumstances. Members because you pay school fees or you pay hostel fees or because you help them buy food or because you help them. You spoke to them some time ago. You do this or you do that situational. Yeah. Situational. One time somebody came to me and the person told me that, yeah, I think it was Sir Kelly, came to me and he told me that, I'm actually very intentional, that's why I call out the name. He came to me and he said that I was preaching to this girl, and then, Pastor, please, I want to apologize for helping her. She said she wanted money, but she's sort of, I'm trying to disciple or something. And I said, how much did you give her? She said, oh, Pastor, please, I gave her 500 CDs too. And I said, I smiled. I said, huh, you don't know. That's why I'm telling you, when you do anything, tell me. Situational. It's because of situations. And let me tell you something. This ministry is not a situational ministry. Eh? You, if we want to help you, we just help you. Do you see? But God didn't call us to help, pay school fees and all of that. All of those things are good. All of those things are wonderful. But those things should not be the reason why you say, oh, now I'm here. No, you are here because you love Jesus. You want to serve God with your life. Here because you love Jesus. You want to serve God with your life. So you want to just serve God. You want to love God. You want to give Him your life. You want to serve Him. You want to make disciples. You want to be a minister of God. That's why you are here. So there are many situations. 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 But refuse to be a situational member. Those ones, when it becomes really tough, they disappear. You don't really find them around. So you should be non-situational. You see that some people come to meetings, church, and all of that because their parents also do so. Situations. They did their parents' travel on Friday afternoon. You see them discussing among themselves. Hey, Tali, Sunday way. They Sunday way, they go church. Next two Sundays, we they even break it. Same money, that money, that may not be, but I'm saying next 2 weeks, Monday, and the next 2 weeks, Sunday, they go, sorry, into your boha, and go be a. Kofa game the bra na embo. Situational. It's because mommy and daddy will not allow them not go to church. So they have to. So situations. Yes. But don't be a situational member of this ministry. The third one's non-situational. Non-situational. Like my friend, I told you about that. I make it a point to call him and hear from him. And whenever he comes, I'm saying, actually, you have to let me see you. You have to let me see you. Yes, non-situational. Yes. So many times, non-situational, they are not moved. They are always there. Say, Marcel, who was your best friend on campus? Who was the one you used to really, really, really work with him? Best flow. Yes, the patriarchs are here. Let me see whether he has situational friendship or non-situational friendship. Let's judge his friendship. Say, Marcel, where's your best friend? Best of them, or the one you used to flow with, the one you used to talk with, the one you used to... Yes. Say, Marcel, who was mentioning this? I just want to hear.
Pastor, good evening.
Good evening, Sir Marcel.
Thank you for the opportunity. Pastor, in school, I don't think I really had anybody like that.
Hey. That's serious. Okay, mute your microphone. We can't tell if you are going to be situational or not. Marcel doesn't have anybody like that. Hey. Okay, that's fine. So there's situational people. Oh, they're just fair weather. That's actually strange anyway. Non-situational. They are there. They are there. Even some of you who are doing your hospital rotations, if I ask you that the people you used to flow with in school, you would tell me that, Pastor, it got to a time I didn't hear from them for like 7 months. But you were all there, viewing each other's status, watching each other's shares and all of that. But in school, and you know the funny thing, the pharmacy students are in school again. They are going to write, what do you call it? They are GPPQ. You see that when they get to school now, they bonded again. I think they knew themselves already. Situational. They bonded quickly. They are together again. So when you go back to your group, look at your faces very well. If the people are here, sorry for you, but if they are not here, when you go back, you quietly look and you say, this thing, situational, oh. Is it situational? Some of you are on break, vacation, 3 months. You've not heard from them. You heard from them just 1 week after you went home to ask whether the school fees was going to be sent to you or something. How is it going to be sent? Oh, it's just going to be 2 weeks. That was all. You didn't hear. When you go back to school, the moment you get to school, you call them. Now, when are you coming? Oh, you have to hurry up and come. Situational. Yes. So CFI to their situational members. But I'm praying that I'll move you from situational members to real members. Real ones. To real members. So non-situational. You don't see them often. I mean, you have them around. Situations don't affect them. You can rely on them. Every meeting, they are there. Yes. When I was prayer director, I always tell everybody that one of my non-situational members, committed people, was Emilia. This girl used to bless my heart. Is she here today? Yeah. She used to come to the garden a lot of times. I'm not sure, maybe she missed a couple of times, but she was almost always there. I remember like today, like presently today. Yeah, for my prayer director times, Emilia will always, almost always be there. You see Catherine and what do you call it, Annie and Cody, they are there, but you know, as for Ivan and Cody, came long time afterwards. They enjoyed themselves when it was almost over, they came. Yes, situational people. You usually see Ivan with a shirt, with a TV room boy. I said, hey, this boy. Situational. I still remember all of you. I have your stories. Yes, I still remember. So they are non-situational people. Non-situational. Yeah, and I pray that you would not become a situational member. I say, we are just around because, you know, the Holy Spirit is leading us. At a point in time, we'll also go and start a ministry. They are situational people. They are situational people. So, you're going to make up your mind. Be resolute. This is where I belong. I'm taught God's word here. I belong here. I'm committed here. I'll be given to it. Not that I'm on campus, so the ministry is, CFI is the people, because I'm on campus. After campus, you go back to whatever. Those are not situational, non-situational people. Yeah. They are the ones that make statements like, we die here. They are the it's not, the last members are the ones that will say that's non-situational. Well, situations don't tell. Their presence, they are always there. But there's another one. The fourth and then the final one are people who are committed as though they are married to whatever it is that's happening. Yeah, so we're going like a marital sort of commitment. Yes, that's the highest level of commitment. It means that for better, for worse, for present, for absent, for good, for bad, whether there are conflicts, challenges we deal inside. My house is far, my house is not far, challenge we deal inside. I have to pick Uber, 2 cars before I get there, challenge we deal inside. Yeah, these are the people who belong actually. they belong. There are the people that when you ask, which ministry, church? It's like Christ Family. Oh, I see. Yeah, we're there inside. We are inside. The wind is blowing. The thing is, but they are there. I watched a funny video. You know, a man who was married to a lady was telling the leader, look, I'm going with the marriage. I've divorced. And the man says, see, we all don't have any place to go. There's nowhere to go. So just stay and let us stay. Then the lady gave the man water to drink and advised him to sleep. When he sleeps and wake up, he continues with the marriage because there is nowhere to go. Where are you going? It's like me, my mind of ministry is marital. There's nowhere. It can never cross my mind that, I will not do ministry. It can never cross my mind. Yeah. Or not serve God. It can never cross my mind. It's like I'm clinged to it. Maritally. Yeah. You see, when people are married, they share things together. They see it as their own. They are in it for good. There may be conflicts, there may be challenges, there may be even disappointments. But this has no ability to shake the commitments of these marital couples. May your marriages be like that. In Jesus' name. Yes. You know, I believe that many times. In it, 50% of the marriage will work. Because there's no divorce that crosses your mind. Yeah, we are in it. We'll fight. We are understanding that we are fighting, but we all know that we don't have any place to go. Yeah. This thing you did, I don't really like it, this argument, but there's nowhere to go. We have all come to that agreement that there is nowhere to go. 50% of the marriage will be saved. 50% of the marriage will be saved. You don't have anywhere to go. Don't let those thoughts cross your mind that I'm going somewhere. Where are you going to? There's nowhere. Say, hey, we only have ourselves, so there's nowhere to go. If I do something that you don't like, just tell me, I'll change. I'll try to change, and I'm changing. But there is nowhere to go. Yes. So you see that in the ministry too, the same. There are people, they don't have anywhere to go. And that's when we start having branches all over the world. You see that people move from one nation to the other, but they still look for the church to stay because they don't have anywhere to go. They are there. Whether it's working, it's not working, they are just there. They just know that they are there, that's all. There's nowhere to go. Not the situation. I remember saying, we are just in SS1. We are just in university level 200. Hey, CFI. Hey, those people, they come, they really like praying, pound. Boy. And you go for their meetings, they keep long situation now. Just keep quiet and don't spoil other people. They keep long their meetings, they make you pray, just keep quiet. Every ministry that's doing what they say, the same thing. Go and look at Christ Embassy, they had the same complaints. They keep long and blah, 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 blah. Yes. At least the service is supposed to be 1 hour. What's this long meetings? That's what we do here. How do you pray 2 times a day? How do you pray 2 times a day? I'm even about to increase it to 3, then gradually to 4. Yes. I'm not saying you should be present in all the 4 because you'll be working and you'll be doing that, but there are going to be prayer sessions going on consistently. Yes. Yes. You see, when the clouds are full, they will empty of themselves. Most of you will be wondering whether what we prayed about, that is what we are seeing. Because it will be so evident. Yes. It will be very evident. It's just a matter of time. You think God, when we pray, he doesn't see. You get up every day, we are praying. You think he doesn't see. He sees. When it's full, you see that it will gush out. We'll take this nation, we'll shake it like this. We'll go to other nations, we'll take it, we'll shake them. for Jesus. We'll get everybody saved. Yes, we'll get men healed. See miracles happen. See the dead raised. See blind eyes. See things happen. Great ease. In our discipleships, you see multiplication. Some of you have halls that you disciple people in. Halls. I'm telling you, it's just a matter of time. Halls will be filled by you. And I might not even be there. I will not be there. You are the one filling the halls. Yes. I believe that with my life, I tell you. Yes. See, when a man doesn't believe a vision, he can't leave anything for it. But me, I believe in the vision. That's why I'm not afraid to leave every luxurious thing to follow that vision. Because I've seen it. I believe in the vision. Yeah. Yeah. I believe the vision. That's why I'm giving my life to it. Because I believe it. If I don't believe it, one day I can just get up and tell her, people of God, I'm really sorry, but on a second thought, decided to do my outside something, and it's going to be 6 years, and I'll practice for 2 years, so that'll be 8 years. So people of God, for the next 8 years, I will not be around. You see, you don't even like a situational pastor. Eh? You yourself, you don't like a situational pastor. So why are you wanting to be a situational member? Yes, but when I do it to you, you will not be happy. You will not be happy. You will be happy. You say, why? Why? Why should pastor do that? Why? Why? But you want to do it to me. You want to leave. You want to be situational. You are in the universities. We are pouring into you. And you have thoughts that when you go back home, you will not have anything to do with us. How we are praying over you, discipling you, teaching you, counseling you, and you want to leave everything that we are doing for you. You want to call that situational. You want to call that situation. It doesn't look like situational to you. Yeah. Does it look like situational to what we are doing? Does it look like situational to you? Does it look like situational for you? I had the opportunity to leave the country twice. Yes, in one single year, two times. I could have said, God will take care of you. And I'll share you amongst the churches. You go to ICGC. Five of you, you can go to. These people, they teach the gospel. Go there. I can see that you are very fervent people. Go there. Yes, two times, 1 year. The first one, they said, just say yes. The thing is ready. We'll stamp it on you. You go. Yes. So if you don't like situational, this a pastor, you don't like a situation, you want a pastor that will say, we day here, we are all here. You also shouldn't be a situational member. You come for meetings and you are at another ministry and you are at another church and you are at fire and disco congregation. You are here, you are there. You don't want situation. So why are you being situational? Why are you being situational? If you don't want a situational, whatever, teacher or something. Imagine if I told you that, let's block the prayer sessions, block discipleship for 1 year. Because I have to go and do 1, 2 and come back the next year. Let's pause it. Eh? God will provide for us. Let's just 1 year. Yes. And it's not like I'm lying to you. Whenever I tell you things should be, I was speaking to a fellow colleague pharmacist. And I said, see, me? Oh. I said, God has really helped me. The things that people were making money and saying that they were doing, I was making more money. I'm not lying to you. See, today, if you think that we are in the ministry for money or something, I can't just tell you how much I would have made in 1 month. But I'm telling you that I could have made more money. Doctor, a doctor doesn't make money. How much does a doctor take? How much does a doctor? 6,000. Or 7,000. 7,000 is no money. 7,000 is no money. Yeah, I used to work. I was going to work for somebody for is it 5 hours or so? Should I tell how much the person was willing to pay me? But I said no. I came out one time, and I met this person I was supposed to evangelize to, and then I was going somewhere to make money somewhere. And the moment I knew very well I was supposed to preach to a guy, I knew I was supposed to have time for the guy, I knew I was supposed to disciple the guy, yet there were other many things that I was chasing. Yeah, that's why in the dream God sent me a great man of God who was crying. I saw him crying. And he said, "Why have you chosen, you know, riches over the people?" Yeah, so I passed by the boy and I saw a vision on my eyes. I saw a ram that was fattened. The ram was fattened. Yes. And suddenly, the fattened ram that I saw became very lanky. And God says, "That's how your sheep are going to be. You don't focus and be following whatever. The people you are teaching, that's how they'll be. And the guy you are just passing by, he's supposed to be a fattened ram." I saw the ram in my vision. I saw it. I was a prophet. I saw it in my vision. Yes. So when I came back, that disturbing scene of seeing the fattened ram and seeing the lanky ram, it started playing continually in my mind. Yeah. And I saw that now I need to be careful. So if you don't want a situational pastor, why are you a situational member? If you are here to because somebody just said, you know, just come and pray. These prayer sessions are not for situational people. We are sorry for you. We have an agenda to raise 70 strong. We are sorry for you. If you joined in by mistake, join in when we have prophetic flow, what do you call it? All of those ones are situational. They are there to bless you. Healing sessions, miracle sessions, that these ones are not situational. These are for members. Yeah. People who are committed or people who are involved in some kind of discipleship. And I'm not even apologetic about saying this. I mean what I'm saying. Because that's the agenda, is to raise 70 strong. They are there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday, in person, papa, start services, papa, they are there. Situational, non-situational.
So, if you don't want, what do you call it? Situational pastor, don't be a situational member. Belong to A, belong to B, belong to C. Where do you belong? You yourself, where do you belong? So God is going to save us from situational commitments because of school and all of that. And he's going to push us into marital commitments. It's marital commitment.
I saw a funny marital video. The man gave the woman ginger, and the woman put the ginger in her mouth and bit the ginger, and she squeezed her face, and the man said, "Don't throw the ginger away," and put his hand in the woman's mouth and removed the ginger and put it in his mouth and chewed the ginger. I said, "My God, this one is not situational, it's marital. This is marital." Hey. You know, it's extreme. It's like, if you have TB, I have TB too. Yes. Yes. If you have TB, I have the TB to catch me. It will catch me. The TB will catch me. TB will catch me. Yes. Yes. Put the hand in the lady, scooped out the ginger that she chewed and put it in his mouth. What a marital union. Some of you, they'll just drink straw and then you say, "Could you please change the straw for me?" Situational. Drink with a straw and use the same spoon. When I was a child, I was telling someone, "It's this thing, I hated it with my whole life. You can ask my mother." Yeah. If you don't know, and you put a spoon in your mouth, and you give me the food, I will not eat the food. Some of you also were like that. Situational people. You don't know that that's your mother. Yeah? She bore you for 9 months. I was very like that, people of God. Straw. Hey. Like you put a straw. I'm drinking Coca-Cola. You come to drinks. Hey, you spoiled my food.
Hey, spoon. And you use the spoon and you try to give me. Ah, my God. I feel like the food is spoiled. Yes. But we are going to be marital members. Yes. Going to be marital members. We can put our hands in the mouth and remove ginger. And chew the ginger. All of the ginger. It's not like we are... And we don't chew it with cost, you know. We put it and say, remove it. If you chew, remove it for me. And you put it in your mouth. Yes. We are together. It's no situations. No situational people. Put the mouth, hand in the mouth, scoop the ginger. Hey, I mean, for me, it didn't sound very nice to me at all. I mean, honestly, I'm not going to lie about it. You put your hand in the mouth, remove the ginger, and you chew the ginger is not toffee. I mean, ginger is this thing. The thing just chewed it, and you still scoop it out of your, and you put it in your mouth. I'm sure you're laughing, but I'm really serious about this teaching. That's how I can teach you so you understand what I'm trying to communicate to you. Yes. So no situational membership. Mouth to mouth. Marital. We are inside. Where are you going? You go. You come back. Yes. Our children will be children in our ministries. Yes. Yes. They will be pastors in younger generations. Yes. Yes, I'm serious. No situational members. So God is raising committed people. I'm telling you. And this thing, many years ago, I received a prophecy concerning it. Yeah. Even when I had not planned on starting a church. Yes. It came to me. Said God will give you committed people. And that's what I'm teaching you. That's what I'm teaching you. Marital. Okay, don't forget the analogy, eh? You can put the hand in the mouth and gather with your two fingers, the first one and the second one. You gather with all the scooped pieces of the ginger and you put it in your mouth. It means we're there inside. We are in it. Yeah. We die here. It's where we belong. This is our pastor. This is what we believe. This is what we give ourselves to. God's building a very strong army. And to have this army, it will need people who are stable in that army. Not unstable folks. Stable folks. People who are stable. And many times, for God to do this, He's going to need stable people. So we have to be very committed, right? So that we can get to be a part of God's own army. And you know your man. Right? It's very... See, let me tell you something. It is something that God does. So, yes, don't let any man tell you that you are just trying to follow. No. Even, you see, when God called the man David, and he called David a man after his own heart. One of the things that David actually had that showed a physical representation of God's mighty hand on him was men. Yes. Men who were committed to the vision that God had put on David's heart. And it was no joke. David's army was mighty. And that's how you know the Lord was mighty with him. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 16 to 17. So, there were some other Benjamites
and some men from Judah who also came to David in his stronghold. And when David went out to meet them, he asked a certain question. I want you to look at it. I want NIV, 1 Chronicles 12, 16 to 17. 1 Chronicles 12, 16. It is a very supernatural thing. Let no man tell you that, you know, to form an army, you do not need committed people. And God does not need committed people. He needs extra commitment to see that vision happen. So, David went out to meet them and said to them, "If you have come to me in peace to help me, I'm ready to have you unite with me." So David in himself is not needing men who are not committed. He says, the only way I will accept you is when you come to help me. Now, this was a man after God's own heart. If there's anybody in the Bible you should be looking at carefully, is the man David. Aside Jesus, who is a template for all of them. But for God to say that is a man, the one that my heart beats after, you should look at the person again. Yes. So David says, if you have come to me in peace, NIV, if you have come to me in peace to help me, I'm ready to have you unite with me. But if you have come to betray me, you see, he's not calling out people who are double-minded. It's like when the army is being formed, we don't need people who are double-minded. If you have come to be at peace with me, let me talk to you. I'm ready to have you around. I'm ready to teach you the skill of battle. I'm ready to help you become that warrior. But if you have not come to me to help me, but you have come to betray me to my enemies, when my hands are free from violence, he said, may the God of our fathers see it and judge you. Now, David was raising some dedicated men. So he wanted whoever that helped him to possess certain characteristic traits. And one of them was that if you have come to unite with me means that you now are becoming a warrior as part of my team, right? You're becoming skillful in what I teach you. David's main men, many of them killed lions, bears, you know. One put down 800 men with a spear, with a single thrust of a spear, 800 men. Now, these were men who had been trained by David, who had united with David. So sometimes people think David was the only one that killed a lion on a bed. There were other his disciples. I'll show you the story. Maybe we're not looking at the story. But when you go into Shammai and all of those people and Eleazar, they were men of battle. Men of battle. They also slayed down bears. But you will not hear of them. But they were mighty men of David. So he says, if you have come, right, to help me. You see, it's only Samson and this, you know, that they killed bears and they didn't. No, they were mighty men. Yeah. One of them fought so hard that his hand clung to the sword. He never left the sword. He fought so hard that his hand was together with the sword. And he was fierce. Yes. It was said that one had the face of a lion. One of David's mighty men. Yes. But he's the one now saying that if you have not come to unite with me, do not let my peace be with you. I am not ready to have you around if you are here to betray me. And he added sort of like a condition. He says, may the God of our fathers see it and judge you. To judge you means to take you out of whatever it is that you know very well you are not coming to do. So, while, you know, many people are going to be enticed by talent, you know, David wasn't enticed with talent. In fact, David's mighty men were men discontented, destitute, and full of debts. Yeah. They were just useless men. Men who were not timid, who were timid, who were afraid, could not even stand somewhere and preach. Those were his men. But he says, if you have come to me in peace to help me, I'm ready to have you unite with me. You have not come to me in peace to help me, then please don't betray me when my hands are free from violence. So I'm not too much interested in talent. I'm interested in men who are potential team members. Their attitude, their motives, their commitment. They've come in peace. Not those who are constantly creating a lot of discord. Listen to what happened in chapter 12, verse 18. The next verse. It is a very scary answer. Yes. Yes. Benjamite is a scary answer. But it shows that the Spirit of the Lord was mighty upon David. It was mighty upon him. Yeah. So when he asked that, you see, if you have come to betray me, please, don't be around. Don't be not a committed fellow to the battle we have. We have so many battles to fight. Don't be around. Except that God is not going to be happy that you are around. Then look what happened in 1 Chronicles 12:18. He said, then the Spirit came upon Amasai, the chief of the 30. And he said, it means it's a very spiritual thing for men to be committed. Yes. And it is God. When you see that you are having a desire to be more committed, I'm telling you, it is the Spirit of God. Yes, it's the Spirit of God. So in 1 Chronicles, the Spirit of God came upon the man Amasai, the chief of the 30, and he said, so that's the Spirit of God. It's like, you see, in the Old Testament, the anointing coming upon a man was to come to do. It's just the same as the Spirit upon. It came for a manifestative act. Yes, and that was the Spirit upon. So whenever the Spirit upon came upon a man, it anointed him to be supernatural. You said supernatural things, or you acted in supernatural ways. And that was what happened to Samson. He will wake up and he will shake himself. And Bible says the Spirit of God will come upon him mightily. And his strength will be as not as of a human. So the Spirit of God is coming upon a man, a master, who is the chief of the 30 of them. And he said, we are yours, O David. We are with you, O son of Jesse. Success. Success to you. And success to those who help you. For your God will help you. So David received them and made them leaders of his raiding bands. So you see, we're not just training you to be committed and just being. No, we're training you so that you can become something mighty that God is preparing all of us for. Yes. Yes. Listen to the utterance. It can only be supernatural. You can't write this utterance it has to be supernatural. The Spirit came upon him. The Spirit came upon Elijah and he prophesied. The Spirit came upon Saul. He became one amongst the prophets. The Spirit came upon many of the patriarchs of the old, and they did things. Came upon Samson. Came upon many of them. And they did so many things. The Spirit upon is coming upon Amasai, the chief of the 30. And he said, we are yours, O David. We are with you, O son of Jesse. Success, success to you, and success to those who help you. For your God will help you. So David received them. Commitment is a very supernatural thing. What I'm teaching you, you will know actually if you are here, if your heart responds to what I'm teaching. If your heart does not respond to it, I think you are situational. Yeah, you are situational. Because what I'm communicating now is very spiritual. If you feel like, these people are just here to con people and they're just here to make people followers, and you are not here. That's how to know spiritually that you are not supposed to be here.
Yes.
So the Spirit of God came upon him and he gave out utterances, words, just like the Spirit of God coming upon the 70. God took upon the Spirit that was upon Moses and he put it on the 70. And God's Spirit was mighty upon them and they prophesied. It means they spoke the mind of God. So when you see yourself become a certain way as to, you know, saying these words, we are yours. You see, these were manipulative. David is very manipulative. Why are they not saying that we are Jehovah's? We are Jehovah's. We are for God. As far as we are for God. He's not saying God here. He's talking about a man that God had chosen for a certain work. And they rallied round the work. And they went around the work. And took the work as though the work was for them. And they did the work. We are yours. O David, we are with you. O son of Jesse, success. Success to you. And success to those who help you. For your God will help you. And that was the fruit of loyalty. Loyalty is a spirit. So they were committed to the success of David on a personal level. They believed in the mission, the purpose to which David was called. And they pledged themselves to the success of David. I see you becoming a mighty committed. You see, it's those kind of people that the anointing, over the years, you will see it. Over the years, you see, as we grow into the years, you see, it will be like this. There's a grace that's working on the head. You almost see it working with them. It will be working because it's for the same purpose and for the same cause. Yeah, it's for the same purpose and it's for the same cause. Yes, the same grace. You see it working. Literally, you see it working. Because it's the same heart that works for the same vision. It's just that now it's in different men and in different vessels, but it's working for the same vision. We are with you. Oh, David, we are with you. Son of Jesse. Success to you. It's not success to, you know, what are we getting from it? No, success to you. And you know the funny thing? David's mighty men were captured for historical purposes, or how fierce they were in battle. You can read it. Yeah. You can't talk about David without his mighty men. You see, we can't talk about David without talking about his mighty. Anytime you mention David, aside the fact that he had psalms and songs and all of that, the next thing you see that the mighty men of David, because without the mighty men, it was totally impossible for him to win. He couldn't have won. He couldn't have won. That's when you see women who can really prophesy and you open your mouth. Yes. You'll be shocked that a lady can actually stand and flow and do some things. You'll be shocked. Yes. Yes. The same spirit is the same thing that is working. You see them as fierce. As you as a man, you think about it. Yeah. The same grace. You see people stand at places and the presence of God just sweeps the place. That's the same effect. The same effect. Yeah. The same miracles are happening. The same effect. But it doesn't come with somebody who says, you know, David, you think you are the one that God has called. Why should we be in your team? Can't we also form a team of 30 and have our own team? You know, you don't get this. The Spirit of God is not upon you for the work. It's called David for it, not you. I see you becoming a mighty committed fellow. Mighty committed fellow. Mighty committed fellow. And if you have come to me in peace to help me, oh, I'm ready to unite with you. But if you have come to betray the Lord, is not happy about it. Because the devil works through people who destroy what is being planted by God. Yeah. You're becoming something fierce. Yes, fierce. I sense that. Fierce. Fierce. Over the times you see people be having 150 men, 200 men, 1,000 men, 1,500, 2,000, 5,000. You'll be shocked. You'll be shocked. And you see all of them mightily fierce in preaching, in prophesying, in laying hands, in seeing the miraculous move. Yes. They would stand there. They would, you sense you have the same effect of teaching. You have the same effect. Yes. So from today, become committed. He's teaching people to follow him. He's not teaching people not to follow Christ. Is it not Christ we are following? What's your explanation of discipleship? He's rallying the people around him. Didn't you see that David is rallying people around him? Did he rally the people and say that, you know, you should fight whatever fight you want? God is going to help us. Fighting people. You don't know what you're talking about. Yes, you don't know what you're talking about. I tell you, you don't know what you're talking about. Bring any scripture. I'll let you see that whenever God calls a man, he calls other men for the vision. And God is pleased because he is the one that gives the vision and he brings people together for the vision. Yes, you don't really understand what you're saying. Do you think he's proud? He's proud. That's pride, a sign of pride. Pride is causing the people to see him as a God. This guy be crazy. All of these things we are doing, are we not doing it for God? If you think I want people around me, you lied. You missed it. You missed it. You missed it. Left to me, I don't want anybody around me. In my natural self. You missed it. But for the cause that we have that is fierce upon us, we are going to have this. Imagine if we have right now 10 Pascals, the same mentality, the same heart, the same gusto, the same fervency, the same. Do you know what that will call? Same heart. I see you becoming committed. A strong man. A mighty man of influence, fierce in battle, swift as the gazelle, fast. You're becoming committed. Many times it's the years ahead that will speak. Yeah. The years ahead is what will speak. Whether you actually chose the right thing or you didn't choose the right thing. Yes. So don't be a disconnected member. Not committed member. You are situational. You are in school. People forced you, discipleship. That's why it seems like you are actually there. But when you go home, or when you go on midterm, you have gone on midterm break also for everything. You don't come for meetings. You're not committed. You're not showing the zeal and the enthusiasm everybody's resonating with and running with. It's like you are laid back in a certain way. Don't be like that. I see you becoming more committed and moving into marital sort of commitments in the work that we have our hands on as a ministry, in Jesus' name. So, I'm just going to leave you with these words. Stay maritally connected and committed to the work we have on our hands. And let me tell you, the work is going to grow, and it's growing. And the work is going to take shape, and it's taking shape. This city will be covered. This nation will be covered. We'll have many other nations covered. And I put it to you, God is doing this with us. Yes, I'm not apologetic about it. God is doing this with us. Yes. And that's why we have to strengthen all of these things we have to do and not allow, you know, someone is like, you are not really there. It's like you are there to snitch, there to hear, just be there around, just find yourself around. No. We are here to be here and to be here and to be here. We are not going anywhere. Yes. This thing I'm telling you, I went with a couple of people, for a couple of weeks. We went to minister in a church, in an ICG's church. And the man of God, when he saw them, he told him, he said, you people is huge. Don't leave. Don't go anywhere. He told them, he said, don't go. You have huge work on your hands. I didn't say it to him. I didn't even talk to him about it. I didn't even say anything. Yes, they were there. Well, 9 people or so. And I believe those words because they are true. So God's making you committed. Don't allow anybody intimidate your commitment in any way. So don't allow anybody intimidate your commitment in any way. God has called you. And you have a piece in the whole puzzle. Everybody has a piece. If you go out, it will not be nice. Unfortunately, God has a way of maybe just substituting. But we want you to be in the piece. We want you to be there. To play your nice part. So that everything can finish nicely. So you are becoming committed. In Jesus' name. Amen.